right. We've been talking about temptation, how to deal with temptation. And once you learn what Jesus learned, then we can begin to live like Jesus lived in this earth. In other words, there is a place that you and I can get to where temptation never, ever is able to conquer us anymore. Now, when we're talking about temptation, once again, I'm not talking about what Hollywood would consider temptation. I'm not just talking about sex and drugs and those things are temptations, but we're just not only talking about those things. But what true temptation is any pressure that's applied to your life to get you to act, say, or do something that's going to violate God's will for you. That's temptation. Now, whether that's to get you to violate your God's will in the area of substance abuse, or whether that's a violation of God's will in sexual perversions, or it could be pressure applied to you to spend when God is not wanting you to spend. Amen. It could be pressure applied to you to open your mouth up and say something when it's time for you to be quiet. Amen. So temptation comes in all forms and facets. It is pressure applied to your life. And what the devil is trying to do is apply the pressure to get you to act, say, or do something that you know God would not want you to do, or it's not time for you to do that. So everybody in here deals with that in some way or some form. All right. So we've been learning, how do you overcome this, and how do you live in such a way to where temptation doesn't have authority over you, but you are able to have authority over it. All right. Now, let's go back over to the book of James and let's start there again this morning. And I don't know if we have finished this up this week or not. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say. But let's look here in James chapter 1, and let's look once again at, we'll start at verse 13 today. Let's start at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now, notice what this says here. Let no man say. Let no man open his mouth up and say. That is key to overcoming temptation. What the difference between an individual standing and resisting temptation or falling underneath the pressure of temptation is based on what's coming out of your mouth. Let no man say, and we're going to look at that today. And it says, so don't say when you're tempted that it's God. God does not tempt you. I know we've been taught in church that God is testing me, trying to see something. God doesn't need to test you. He doesn't need to see anything. He already knows who you are. So when temptation comes, it's not God. Now, you may not necessarily say God is tempting me, but we have a tendency to say, or we've heard said, he won't put more on me than I can bear. Well, that's saying the same thing. God's not putting anything on you. God does not put pressure on you to do anything. God loves you. And verse number 17 proves it, says all good and perfect gifts come from above. And they come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turnings. In other words, God presents you with gifts. The gifts that come from God comes with no strings attached. Take them or leave them. It's up to you. So God is not putting pressure on you. So if it's not God, we can take him out of the equation. We've already learned that. And we can also take ourselves out of the equation, because verse number 14 explains that. You know, when we read scriptures and when we allow the Holy Spirit to read scriptures to us, our understandings become clear on what it is that God wants to do. And so I've read this scripture, verse 14, for years. But earlier this month, the Holy Spirit began to open my eyes to it. Now, look at what it says, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. For years, we've been led to believe that the reason that this temptation is there is because there's something wrong with me. I still must have this lust down on the inside of me, and this is why I keep falling in this area. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. We've went through the scriptures. I don't have time to go through all those again, but the Bible says that any man that be in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Now, either that's true or it's not. If old things have passed away, that means those old moral conditions, that old lust, that old evil desires that were in you before you got saved, all that's gone. It has to be gone, because it also says that all the new things are of God and there is no lust in God. So it could not be. This could not mean that there's something still wrong with you and I if we get born again. But that's what the devil's been trying to convince God's people of. There is something wrong with them. And because we have not read the scriptures according to the way God has written them and wants us to understand them, we believe that. And we stayed underneath the thumb of temptation when we should have been taking authority over it. Now, let's find out what this scripture is really saying. And it makes it very clear if you read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, but every person is tempted when he is drawn away. In order for the temptation to work in your life, the devil, first of all, has to draw you away from your spirit, the spirit of God. He has to shift your focus off of God onto something else. He doesn't care what it shifts to as long as it's not God. It can shift to anything, working more overtime, looking at TV, talking to your friends on the phone or whatever your hobbies may be. He does not care what he shifts your attention to as long as it's not God. So the first thing he has to do, it says here, every man becomes tempted or pressured when he is first drawn away. And once you've been drawn away, then you can be enticed to take the bait. Once you have been drawn away, then he can entice you to take his bait. Now, how do I know that this is not me that is doing all of this? Well, real quick here, what was the example I gave you? It was when you're going to go fishing, the fish does not jump out of the lake, open up your tackle box, take out the bait, put it on the hook, cast it into the water and jump back into the water and bite the bait, does it? No. So that would be the same thing with you. You're not enticing yourself. You're not trying to draw yourself away from God. You're not trying to entice yourself to do anything. So that only leaves one other culprit. That's the devil. Satan has a way of giving you his evil desires and thoughts and then turn around and make you think it was you. And as long as you're ignorant to the fact that it's him, you'll believe something's still wrong with you and you'll fight yourself. And as long as you're fighting yourself, you're losing. Because you aren't putting the resistance where the resistance needs to be. So it says that every man becomes tempted when he is drawn away, first of all, from God unto other things. And then Satan begins to entice you with bait. The moment you take the bait, then it becomes your evil desires. You pick up on what Satan wants you to do. But notice, you have a choice in all of this. And so this is what we've been learning, how to live free from the pressures of temptation. All right. So now that's our opening text. Let's go back over and let's look once again at Luke chapter 4. And let's learn what Jesus learned. I want to calm down a little bit today here and let's see what Jesus understood, because however Jesus, our perfect example, did it, lived free from temptation, is how we are supposed to live free from temptation. You know, the word of God said that Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, but he didn't sin. So obviously he understood how to live free from the power of, from the pressures of temptation. Now let's look here in Luke chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, that I would write down, the first thing that you need to understand if we're going to have victory over temptation is, I need to make sure that I'm always full of the Spirit. I'm always stirred up in God. It says that Jesus was full of the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says he was full, controlled by, and led by the Spirit. You're not going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit if he is not at the forefront of your life. If you're not spiritually stirred up and full of him, and he is your focus and he is your desire, then you're not going to clearly hear his leadings. But it says here that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And we talked about that a while ago. He was under a severe hunger. Starvation has set in here. Now, verse 3. And the devil said unto him. Now, I want to add this same account. I'm going to add the words from Matthew chapter 4 with Luke chapter 4 to give you a complete picture of this. So it says here, and when the devil came unto Jesus and said unto him. So the tempter has to come. Matthew chapter 4 says when the tempter came. And it tells us here who the tempter is. It didn't say the tempter was God, did it? It didn't say the tempter was Jesus, did it? It says that the devil was the tempter. And when the tempter, who is the devil, came unto Jesus, he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Now, the word command there is also could have said, why don't you go ahead and speak to these stones and turn them into bread? Now, I need for you to understand something here. Jesus was not standing out there in the wilderness having a conversation with the devil face to face like we're sitting here talking right now. That's not how the devil came to him. So you have to understand the same things that Jesus went through, the same way that Satan attacked him is the same way that he's attacking you and I today. He does not deviate because he has nothing else to function from. Satan is locked into the natural central realm. Now, how was this communication being done? The same way that it's done with you and I today. In your mind. Now, pick up on this. Jesus has just fasted for 40 days. He's at the point where starvation, physical starvation is set in, and he is physically weak. Physically, he's weak in a weakened state. But spiritually, he's stronger than ever. So that's a clue right there that your physical body has nothing to do with how strong you are spiritually. You can be physically sick or physically weak, but with your spirit being strong, you can change the physical sickness or weaknesses that's going on. So here's Jesus. He's hungry, starving. Everything in him is wanting to eat. And here comes the tempter. Man, I sure am hungry. Listen to how I'm saying this, because it's exactly how he does you. The devil doesn't come and says, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? He knows you'll pick up on it too fast. But what he will do is he will give you the suggestion as if it's you making the suggestion. Man, I sure am hungry. Now, these are thoughts coming to his mind. Been out here fasting for 40 days. I'm hungry. You know, I could turn that stone into, I could turn that stone into some bread. Now, this is the tempter putting the pressure on him because he knows that the man's in a physical state here and he needs to eat. But he's giving him suggestions in the first person. And this is why we end up succumbing to temptation, because we don't realize that it's not God and it's not us. It's the devil putting evil desires and temptations in your mind. And we're going to look at this here in a few minutes, and I'm going to show you how it works. Man, I'm hungry. Sure wish I had something to eat. Look at that stone down there. I could turn it into some bread. He's baiting him. He's trying to draw his attention away from the spirit onto I'm hungry. And if he can get his focus on I'm hungry and get Jesus to take his words and say them, then he can take authority over Jesus. Because he says, why don't you go ahead and speak to those stones? Or why don't you go ahead and say something that is outside of God's will for you right here? But Jesus had a choice. What did he do? Verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, there's our next clue in how to overcome temptation. Jesus opened his mouth and said something back. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, Matthew, it says, and Jesus answered him. He answered those dumb thoughts. And Jesus said unto him, it is written. In other words, Jesus refused to take the bait. He stayed with the Spirit. He stayed focused on the Spirit man. He stayed focused on God through staying focused on the Word. And he says, thus it is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I know I'm hungry, but my life is not sustained by physical food. My life sustained by the Word of God and everything that God has said to me. So he took the Word of God and dealt with the thought, the suggestion that was coming to put pressure on him to violate the God's will for his life. And this is what we will have to do. We will have to take the Word of God and put the Word of God in our mouth and deal with those evil desires and suggestions that are coming to you when you know and they're outside of God's perfect will for your life. So Jesus dealt with it. Said he opened his mouth up. And he says, hey, whoa, wait just one second. I'm not focusing on my flesh. I don't care how hungry I am. I don't live by bread alone. I live by what my Father tells me to do. And he ain't told me to turn the stone into bread. So that we will not be doing here. And shut him down. Now notice here, if you follow this out, Satan came to him, put the pressure on him to turn the stone to bread. He put the Word on him. Satan came to him again and put pressure on him again. He said once again, thus it is written. But when he got to that last one, the pressure to violate God's will on that last one, he didn't say, thus it is written, did he? He says, it has been said. Now, that's important. There's a version of the scripture that says, it has been said unto me. So in other words, what has happened here, Jesus has stood on what he knows about the Word of God and stood on what he knows about the Word of God. And now the Spirit of God is telling Jesus how to end this thing. Now get it. He starts out with what is known as logos, or that written word, or the scriptures. And then he transitioned over to a rhema word, which is spoken word from God. Now, you will never hear the Spirit of God give you anything to say unless you start with saying what you already know what you should be saying. You have to start with the Bible first, that written word, until it starts talking back to you, and it will. It will. So Jesus stood there underneath the pressure, says, thus it is written. And he stood there, thus it is written. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God rolls up on the inside of him and says, say this to the devil. Say this. And this will happen and work for everybody in this room. If you'll stand your ground underneath that pressure, if you'll stand your ground and stand on the Word of God, knowing that it's not God testing me and there's absolutely nothing wrong with me, this is the devil. If you'll stand your ground on the Word of God long enough, the Spirit of God will instruct you on how to end that temptation. How do I know it? Well, look what it says right here. Come on down here. And verse 12, Jesus says, and he answered him and said, it has been said, or another version says, it's been said unto me, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation. So after Jesus got a rhema word and spoke underneath the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, notice, temptation ended. It was done. It's finished. Now, this gives you the picture of thinking that the devil just says, well, I decide I'll stop for a while. That's not what happened. The devil didn't decide to stop. How do I know that the devil didn't decide to stop? Because it tells us over in James what happens. Now, James is Jesus' brother. So don't you think Jesus taught his brother on how to handle the devil when temptation come? Of course he did. What did Jesus tell his brother about this? how to end this temptation and what would happen if you stay on the word of God and you resist the devil. What will happen? Well, James chapter 4 tells you. It says, first of all, submit your way unto God. Wasn't that what he was out there doing? Submitting to the word of God. He refused to do, to take the bait and do what Satan was trying to pressure him to do. He stayed submitted to God. It says, submit your ways to God, resist the devil. This wasn't that what he was doing? He was resisting Satan with the word of God. And James, the fourth chapter says, and the devil will flee from you. So this is what's going on right here. When the devil ended, he's fleeing. Why? It ain't working. And I don't have anything else left. So he had to get out of there. Now, why was he fleeing? Well, look at the next verse. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. The Amplified Bible for that verse 14 says, and Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit. He stood his ground until the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of him. Never, ever make the mistake of thinking that Jesus has something extra that you and I don't. No, he came here as a man to live like to show us that we can live in this earth underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, following the instruction of the Holy Spirit and be victorious. So he had and operated the same way God intends for us to operate out of our spirits where God's spirit dwells. Jesus stood his ground long enough with the word of God until the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of him and showed him how to end the temptation. And when he ended that temptation, Satan had to flee. Why? Because now power has been made available. It says not only was he full of the Holy Spirit now, but he was also operating underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, now the authority to crush everything that Satan is doing is coming up on him. And the same thing happens to you. The reason that the temptation ends, the reason the devil flees is because he starts to recognize your authority. He starts to recognize the authority and the power that's coming out of you. And he knows that authority and he knows that power because he knows who God is. And not only does he know who God is, he knows what God did in Jesus in the pit of hell when he raised him from the dead. Any man, any woman that will make up their mind that I'm going to submit my life to the will of God and I will not be moved off of it. I will take the word of God, speak the word of God, stand on the word of God until the word of God and the Spirit of God in me shows me how to end this thing. Any man or any woman that does that, you will end up walking and living underneath the power of the Spirit. And it will end everything that the devil is trying to do in your life. So the devil had to get out of there. So we see here, number one, full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And it's going to cause for you to say the word of God out of your mouth until God gives you what to say directly to this particular pressure. All right. There's a word that God wants to give you that will deal with any pressure that comes up in your life. There's an answer for it. That's why this lesson says, and Jesus answered the devil. I have the answer now. First of all, I'm using the word to resist you, but now I have the answer to end it. I have the solution that's going to settle this and sell it forever. And that's what we're after. I don't want to have to end it today and then next week I'm right back here dealing with this again. No, you want to end it. It's done. This is not going to work anymore in my life. And you cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now, let's take that what we've just seen Jesus do. And let's see how this unfolds for us. Now, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And let's start bringing this together. How do you... We just seen how Jesus did it. So does the Bible make it clear that's the way we're supposed to do it too? Absolutely. Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and how we should be clothed. Where are all those things located at? In the natural physical realm. That's the only place Satan can get at you, is in the natural physical realm. He can't tempt you spiritually because he can't get outside of the physical. He's been trapped there. God trapped him. God stuck him in there and he can't get him out of there. I mean, Satan can't get himself out of there. And I thank God he trapped him there, because then God turned right around. And when we got born again, God elevated us up and to the level that he operates on in the spirit. So he put us above the physical, where Satan is trapped. Satan has to deceive you and make you think that you're still down there with him by getting you to lower your standard and come back down into the thoughts that he's giving you, the words that he's trying to give you to say. But notice it says, take no thought saying. When the evil desire comes, you have a choice of whether or not you're going to buy into it or whether you're going to resist it. Now, how does this work? Because I want to make this very practical today, because I want you to see this, because everybody in this room goes through it. You are a person that you're a compulsive shopper and spender. You spend on impulse when you know you shouldn't be. And I'll just use this example here. You out minding your business. You come into a certain store and you walk past. Now, you know, now remember, how does Satan come? He doesn't come at you talking to you out here like face to face. It's suggestions in your mind. And you walk past the shelf and you and that purse catches your eye if you're a female. Ooh, that sure is a cute purse. That's what you hear in your mind. That sure is a cute purse. And you stop. You pick it up. You turn it around. You look at it. Oh, this sure is cute. Now, at first, it was a cute purse in your mind. Now you're saying out of your mouth, oh, this sure is a cute purse. See, he's reeling you in. He's reeling you in. This show will look good on me. Here's another one. If that one didn't get you, here's one here. God's led you to go buy a car. And this time, you know God is leading you to buy a car. You know it. You know God is leading you. You've been praying and it's your time. Now, I know this because we went through this. You get down to the dealership and you walk around in there. You're being led by the Spirit. And God shows you the perfect car that that's for you at this point. At this point. And so while you're sitting there looking at the car and it's looking good, and you know, hey, ooh, man. And you're out of the corner of your eye, you look over there, and there's something else that looks much better. And so you start doing this, looking back and forth. And then all of a sudden, here comes a thought. Well, I'm going to have to make payments anyway. I might as well get what I like. Amen. Now, in my line. That wasn't your thought. Your thought was to go in there and get what God said get. But the devil, he doesn't say, you know, you can afford that. The devil goes in there and says, remember, first person, since I'm going to have to make payments, I might as well get what I want. Now, your focus has been shifted. You've been shifted off of what God led you in there to do over onto now what you want to do. And now there's a battle going on. And the more you look at getting what I want, what you want begins to look better than what God sent you in there for to get at this time. See, you forget that it's at this time. It doesn't mean this is it. This is the final, just at this time. See, God got to move you from one level to the next level to the next level so that you'll be prepared to handle. But see, you want to just jump the gun and get on over there because it's what you want. But notice, take no evil thought saying. Don't let those thoughts get in your mind to the point to where you accept them. Because remember, once you've taken the bait, then it becomes your desire. And not only does it become your desire, the Lord told me that by the time in your mind, by the time you've reached the planning stage in your mind, you've already gone down the path. I mean, you haven't even done anything yet. You've just engaged in your mind on how it can be done. You've already taken the bait and you're on the way down. See how the reason that we as children of God have been falling underneath temptation is because we have not understood the strategy of the devil, and we've allowed him to work this in our lives over and over and over. And let me tell you right now, your mental capacity isn't strong enough to deal with this. This is why you can tell yourself, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then next year find yourself in the exact same place again. Why? Because you've been trying to handle it in the natural when I've already told you in the natural it can't be done. Because if you're in the natural trying to fight it, you're in Satan's arena and you will not win there. That's why Jesus never came out of the spirit. Thus it is written. Thus it is written. Thus it is written. I will only say what my Father tells me to say. I will only do what the Spirit of God leads me to do. I will do nothing else. That's what Jesus said. Now, so don't take the thought and say it. Well, if I'm not supposed to take the thought and say it, what am I supposed to do? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Jesus says that the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So what is he telling you to do? Look inward before you do anything. Ooh, that sure is a cute purse. Well, Holy Spirit, is it time for me to buy that? Should I be spending money right now on that? Look inward. God is in there. The Spirit of God is in there to lead and guide you to all truth. Before you do anything, look inward to the Spirit of God in you. Pause. We have to train ourselves to hesitate long enough to hear the voice of God. See, we're too fast to do stuff because our flesh is trained. I want what I want it now. But you got to untrain yourself and retrain yourself to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God in a person full of the Holy Spirit, just as fast as that dumb thought hits you, the Spirit of God is working in there at the same time. So, whoop, no. Wait, just 1 second. Let me show you why you need to get the one I'm leading you to. Because the one that you want is going to cause you problems. Now, we've been there. Quantrell and I have been there. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about this morning. I didn't know this then, but I can look back in hindsight, and I can look back and see how I got myself in trouble. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Amplified Bible says for his righteousness, for his way of doing and being right. If you will look inward to the Spirit of God, he will show you how to do and be right in every situation that you're going in. Every one of them. And by me seeking first the kingdom of God and relying on him, then he will show me how to add everything else that I need to my life. And it'll come through faith and not pressure. Anything that comes through pressure, pressure is going to be on you to maintain it. Anything that comes from God is free. Why? Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father who does not change his mind and who's not trying to trick you. If he gives it to you, it's a gift. No strings attached. Take it or leave it. So we have to learn not to take the thoughts that Satan is giving us. The thoughts come to get you to agree with his will, Satan's will, and get it in your mouth and get you talking about it. But God is saying, look inward to me for my will and put that in your mouth and I'll show you how to do and be right. Now, which one do you want? I can tell you right now which one is better. Because all the cars that God's given us has been a blessing. All the ones we allow pressure to get us, causes pain. I can tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about in here this morning. Now, you may be sitting there looking at me all funny-eyed, but you know I'm not lying because you know you're going through it too. Some of you probably going through it right now. I've been fighting stuff all week and all probably did something silly yesterday or last week because you didn't know this. All right? Now, let's take it a step further. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible is very practical in how to deal with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look here at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now notice, though we walk in the flesh there is referring to your five physical senses. Though we live in a physical, this physical sense realm, we shouldn't be warring after this physical sense realm. Now, just to leave that like that and try to understand it like that, it kind of, you kind of get it, but you kind of don't. So let me explain it this way. You live in a world, we live in a world that is based on sensory perception, right? That's how we deal with everything. That's how we physically, that's how we are able to come in contact with the physical world. You contact the physical world through your what? Five physical senses, which you can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. That's how we deal with things in the physical world. But your senses are designed to feed information to the controller, which is the mind. So the senses pick up on the sensation, but the information has to be relayed to the mind for it to be functioned and acted upon. So although we live in this sense world, we don't fight out of our minds to overcome it, is what it's trying to say. Information is being fed into your mind, but you don't turn around and use your mind to try to overcome that information. Your mental faculties aren't strong enough to overcome the pressure that's being applied to your flesh, your senses, to act. Now, you have people that have trained themselves to some degree mentally, and they have gained some strength. And I'm not saying that you can't. You have folks that used to drink and they went through the program and it's been 20 years and 11 months and 5 days since I had a drink. They've trained themselves mentally to say no. But let enough pressure come. Now your wife divorced you for your brother and ran off with him. And before you knew it, you don't snatched up the bottle and started drinking again. Why? Because something hits your mind with so much enough pressure hits your mind that it was stronger than your mind to be able to handle. This is why you don't war out of the mind. Because it can't handle the pressure. I'm not going to sleep with him again. Let enough pressure be applied. And then you wake up the next morning. How did I end up doing this thing again? Come on, we don't been there and we all don't did it. We've done it. Why? Because you're trying to fight the devil out of the mind, the mental arena, and the mind does not have the necessary capability to withstand him in the physical arena. All right? So that's why it says we don't war after the flesh. Verse 4. But the weapons of our warfare. So now he's getting ready to tell you now what you use to war with. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal is the same word fleshy, which means they are not physical or mental weapons. But the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God, not through you, not through what you can do. But these weapons that we have are mighty through God. The weapons that we have are mighty through God. Well, what are those weapons? Well, let's just talk about the main ones. The main weapons is going to be the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and your mouth. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even your faith. Well, what's in the world? All that's in the world is the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. That's all Satan has for temptation. Well, how do you overcome it? Even your faith. What is Revelation chapter 12 says? And they overcame it how? By the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. So the words that we're, the weapons that we're supposed to be using is the word, the Spirit-led word of God coming out of our mouths. Those weapons are mighty through God. The word of God coming out of your mouth is mighty. Mighty through God for what? The pulling down of strongholds. Where do strongholds set themselves up? In the mind. Well, how do you pull them down? With the word of God. Thus it is written. The weapons are mighty through God. They pull down strongholds. How do they pull down strongholds? The first thing it does is it gives you the ability to cast down imaginations. What is an imagination? A thought. Take no thought saying. I'm not going to say what you're trying to get me to say, Satan. Turn these stones into bread. Thus it is written. I'm not going to take the thought and say what you want me to say. I'm sticking with God. Thus it is written. And by him saying the word of God, he was able to pull that foul imaginary thought down. He was able to pull it down. Casting down imaginations. Now the Amplified Bible says for that, casting down or refuting arguments, theories, and reasonings. Where are these arguments and reasoning taking place at? In your mind. And why is it an argument? Because your mind, what you want to do, is wrestling with what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. There's the argument. Ooh, God's led me here to buy this car, but I sure might as well get what I want. I got to make payments anyway. I might as well buy the one I want. I got to pay for it. Well, it ain't the one God led you in here to get. See, there's an argument. And all of it's going on where? In your mind. It says you can refute all that. You can end all that. The weapons of our warfare are mighty to the casting down of imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It also helps you to cast and pull down anything else that's trying to set itself up higher than what God has said to you. I say I'm trying to keep this practical today. How to fight and win in the area of temptation. God has spoken. God speaks to everybody in this room when it comes time for you to act, say, or do something. He tells you what to do. He tells you what not to do. Now you have a choice. Either you're going to let his word, because whether you read it out of the Bible or whether the Spirit of God spoke it to you directly, it is still every word of God. It's still God. And Jesus says, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This came from the mouth of God. And if the Holy Spirit speaks directly to you, that comes from the mouth of God. They're both just as much valid and equal. Because whatever you pick up in your spirit from the Holy Ghost is not going to contradict this. And this is not going to contradict whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through your spirit. So whatever God has said to you, the weapon, the word of God in your mouth will make sure that anything else that's trying to come up against that gets pulled down. We're not getting ready to argue about this, devil. The answer is no. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. Get thee behind me. Or in other words, get out of my face. I'm done talking to you about this. I'm not changing my mind here. Thus it is written. So now, casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Amplified Bible for that says here, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, or into the obedience of the anointed one and that anointing. Every thought will have to come subject unto Jesus Christ, or come subject to the anointing. There's that power again. Remember, Jesus was full of the Spirit and power. That's that anointing we just read it here. If you do what Jesus did, you end up where Jesus ended up, standing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take the word of God instead of taking Satan's thought. Remember, he's trying to draw you away. He doesn't care where he draws you away to, as long as it's not God. That's how you take the bait. But if you refuse to be drawn off of what God is saying, then the bait doesn't look as appealing anymore as it does, as it did. The pressure may come, but you recognize it right away because you're full of the Spirit and you say, no, I'm pausing here long enough to find out how to do and be right in this situation. That's why I always say, if there's pressure to respond now, say no. Because if pressure is being put on you to respond right away, quickly, got to do it right this moment, it's not God. Say no. Because if I don't have enough time to pray, now I may not need 3 or 4 days, or maybe I do need 3 or 4 days. But I'm at least going to be able to step back and say, in the name of Jesus, now, Lord, what about this? And if I don't have time to do that, then I don't need it. Well, you're going to miss out on a great deal. It'll be back again. If it's God, guess what? It'll be back again. Or it'll wait long enough for me to hear what he's trying to say, because I have favor. All right. So, you don't fight temptation through your mind. You fight temptation by you opening your mouth up and speaking the word of God and pulling those evil thoughts, desires down and making them become obedient unto what the Spirit of God has to say to you about this situation. All right. All right. Let's take it a little bit another step forward. Let's come on down here now. And let's look at the book of Hebrews. Chapter 4. You know, there's some training that has to go on. The reason that you get into trouble with impulse, the impulsive things. The reason that we get in trouble with impulsive things is because we've trained to respond to the impulse. You've spent years being trained on how to respond to impulse, to react. Somebody make you mad, impulsively you do what? You snap and go right back off on them because you've trained to do that. If you're a fighter and somebody's made you mad, before you know it, your fist is hitting something. Just you've trained to do that. You've trained yourself to do that. But you can retrain yourself to yield to the Spirit of God, the same way you trained yourself to do the impulse. You get bad news, before you know it, the ice cream's out of the refrigerator, you ate the whole gallon. and didn't even realize it was gone. Why do you do it? Because you've trained yourself to respond that way. And it's been happening over years. Well, you have to realize that and begin to say, okay, if I can train myself to respond that way, then I should also be able to train myself to respond to the Spirit of God. And you can. By you doing, when stuff happens, by you, let me shift to the Spirit of God. Let me hear what he has to say. I've trained myself. Now, sometimes I think I go too far and I'm trying to find the balance. But I've trained myself. I don't care what's getting ready to happen. I've trained myself to say, well, start moving real slow. I do. When stuff happens, I'll get real quiet and real slow. I've trained myself to do that. And like I said, sometimes I go too far and when I should be acting, I'm moving too slow. But I'm getting better. But at least I got enough sense to slow down. I'm not getting ready to make one move. I'm not getting ready to do anything. I know I'm mad. I know I want to, but I'm going to slow down until I can find out what I'm supposed to do here. Now, notice what the book of Hebrews says about this. Verse 13. For everyone that's unskillful, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. The Amplified Bible says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in your purpose, thoughts, and actions. So anyone who's still feeding on the milk of the word of God, the simple things. Now I get Hebrews chapter 5. Did I tell you the wrong one? All right. Well, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Anyone that's still struggling with, am I saved? Should I go to church? Do I really have to pray? Is the word of God really important? So you're still on milk. You're unexperienced. And notice it says, you're not able, and the Amplified Bible says, you haven't learned how to talk yet. So you haven't learned how to use the words of the kingdom. You're still receiving stuff from the devil. You're still seeing what the pressure is trying to get you to say. But then it goes on, it says here, but strong meat. Those who have made the decision, I'm going to be full of, controlled by, and led by the Spirit. This is my life. This is what we will do. I won't say it unless the Spirit of God tells me to say it, and I won't do it unless he tells me to do it. See, now we're talking about somebody who's on strong meat, who's able to hear. Remember, I read the scripture to you that out of Corinthians where Paul said, there are things that I want to talk to you about, but you're not able to handle it yet because you're still immature spiritually. He wasn't talking to unsaved people when he said that. He was talking to the church at Corinth, born again believers who were immature and not able to handle the depths of the word of God. You know, honestly, a lot of times you guys come talk to me about things. If I was to say to you flat out what I want to say to you, a lot of you would leave. A lot of you would leave because it would be too hard for you to deal with. So what I have to do is I have to say, well, Holy Spirit, how can I tell them that? And the Holy Spirit has to give me a way of saying the same thing, but softer. I'm just being honest. A lot of people think, ooh, I sure wouldn't mind being, you know, under a Jesse Duplantis or a Creflo Dollar or a Bill Winston. You wouldn't be able to handle them. Your feelings would be hurt. I said in a conference one year, up in Chicago, and Leroy Thompson was preaching. And he had one of his associate ministers there was being an armor bearer for him that day. So obviously before they got out there, he had told his armor bearer Don't sit on the front row, sit on the second row. Okay? So he's walking and he's preaching, like I'm doing this morning. Walking and preaching. And he gets over to where his armor bearer was on the front row. He stopped. He says, I told you not to sit on the front row, to sit on the second row. Now, either you get back on the second row or you get out of here. Now, we in a auditorium, like where they play basketball game. Full. Full. Now, most people would have been like, that was just cruel. That was training. Now, to the average-minded person, he was mean. I bet you I'll get, he talked to me like that. I'm leaving. I ain't coming back here no more. I don't know who he think he is. I bet you I'll find me some other place to go. But that's training. And to a spiritual person, it may hurt their feelings, but to a spiritual-minded person, they're going to receive their correction, get on the second row, like they were told to in the first place, and keep on functioning and grow. But see, if you get hit with something like that, your feelings hurt. I remember when it happened to me in a Bible study in front of everybody. I had a choice. Oh, how dare this man talk to me like that? Who he think he is? I'm grown. I'm just as grown as you are. I'll bet you what. I'll tell you what. I get my stuff and get out. You ain't get no more of my money. I could have did that. Or I could have took my correction and grew. So it says strong meat belongs to those that are full age, the mature, even those who by reason of use, those who have used this maturity or use or operated in the spirit, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Amplified Bible says, but solid food is for full grown men. For those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice. So that tells me right there that you can train your senses and your mind on how to act. It says whose senses and mental faculties are trained to discriminate and to distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. So you can train yourself. You can retrain yourself not to be impulsive, but you can retrain yourself on and to the point to where even your sensory mechanism in your mind is subject to the Spirit of God. That's what was going on out there with Jesus. Thus it is written. I don't care if I fall dead right now from hunger. I will not allow you to alter what God's will is for me right here. Thus it is written. I'm not living by the physical bread alone only. I'm not, my life is not going to be sustained by natural things. I am sustained by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my God. He had trained himself. That's what he was out there fasting to do. Fasting doesn't move God. Get that, people. You can fast and that does not move God. The Bible says faith moves God. Well, what does fasting do? It is a trainer for your flesh to beat that flesh into subjection. I know you're hungry, but we're going to fast. You ain't getting any food. Now bow down and get in here and pray. That's what fasting does. He's out there fasting, getting that flesh under control. Lining it up underneath the rim of the Spirit. And that's why he was able to stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost and says, thus it is written, and I will not be in here. You can do the same thing. That are trained through practice. Trained through practice. Notice, you train through practice. You practice not being an impulse spender. You practice not doing this and not doing that. You practice. Let's look also at chapter 4. We were supposed to go to chapter 4 first. Maybe that's why I got y'all messed up. But this is chapter 4. Verse 12. Here's what we use to practice with. For the word of God is quick and powerful. We're right back to mighty. We're mighty through God. The word of God is alive. That's what quick means. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified Bible says, for the word of God, the word that God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energized, and I can't, my mouth won't say it. I don't know why, but you know what it is. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating. Notice the word of God, penetrating. The word of God, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit. So the word of God, first of all, is able to distinguish between what God is saying and what's coming out of you. Now, that's difficult because sometimes they kind of blur if you don't know what's going on there. Because when the devil's talking to you once again, he's talking to you in first person. And it sounds like it could, especially if he added a scripture in it. But when you rely on the word of God in you, the spirit of God to speak the word of God in you up and to you, then it's sharper. It is able to penetrate and divide that out, the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and the marrow, that's the physical. So the word of God will separate out what's spirit. It'll separate out what's mental. It'll separate out what's physical. Exposing, shifting, and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So if you want to know what's what, the word of God is your answer. I'll take the word of God. Let's train. It's time to act. Well, first of all, if pressure's on you to act, you already know that's not God. But if that pressure's trying to get the best of you, you're trying to, you know, I need to get some stuff cast down here. I need to find out what do we do here? What's going on here? Turn to the word of God. Now, on last week, I told you that the safe place was a place of grace. Now, why is this important? I'm going to end it with this. Why is grace important? Because when I'm operating underneath the grace of God, I'm not operating in what I can do. I'm relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's important because you need him to give you instructions. See, impulse spender, natural human reasoning says, do this. But if I know I'm an impulse spender and I'm relying on the power of the Holy Ghost, the grace of God to lead me, Holy Spirit, you know, I can't keep on falling underneath this spending thing here. Now, we got to get this under control here. What did I do? Because, see, I've tried and I've failed, but I need your grace here. What do I do? And then you pray in the Holy Ghost and you listen. And then whatever he gives you to do, he may say, you're getting ready to go somewhere with some friend, girl. I call up, hey, girl, we're going to go out, so. Want to go? Yeah, okay. And you hang the phone up. And you get ready to go, and you grab your purse, you head to the door. But see, you don't pray, and that's how goes Holy Ghost for help. See, the devil got you set up. You don't realize that you're going to end up at the mall. But the devil do. So you grab your purse, you head to the door. And on your way to the door, the Holy Spirit says, real soft, leave your debit and credit cards at home. Leave my debit card and credit cards at home. See, if you're not careful, you don't blew past that, you gone. Y'all weren't even supposed to go to the mall. Y'all going to the picnic, get your nails done, whatever, whatever. And all of a sudden, I need to run past the mall and grab something. And you up in the mall, before you knew it, you don't saw that dress, and out, and you don't bought it, didn't even realize it. There's $150 gone, and now you at home got a $150 dress hanging in the closet, and now it's time to pay the bill, but you ain't got the $150 anymore. Why? Because leave the credit and debit card at home. See, it wasn't you coming up with a strategy on how to miss it. God was. You pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, you know what? Last year, I fell in this area, in that bed with that person I'm not married to. I don't try everything I know how to do. And none of it worked. I'm relying on, I need some grace here. Help me. Now, the Holy Spirit may give, start telling you your story. He's going to start telling you to do things. But you got to go head on and yield to those things. You can't be double-minded in them. Now, this is a serious issue here. This is a big one. This is where you can't be double-minded in any of it, but particularly here. The phone rings, the call ID. Well, let's back up. Let's back all the way up. Don't nobody love me. How does the devil talk to you? He don't say that. He does not say nobody loves you. Don't nobody love me. And then before you know it, don't nobody love me. I need somebody. I'm tired of being by myself. See, all these are thoughts. Yeah, I hear Pastor Marlon and Quantrell and them, but he got home with her and she's at home with him and they got somebody. You want me to have somebody too, Lord? See all the dumb thoughts. Brrr. Caller ID, it's the Buster. But see, your flesh has been being bombarded for the last 2 weeks. You told yourself, I ain't taking his calls no more. Brrr. But see, all for the last 2 weeks, you've been beat up on by your own mouth and mind. Before you know it, your hand is on the phone. And what you intend to do, while you call here, that's what you intend to do, but you find yourself listening to the same lie that was said last time. Yeah, whatever. And you hang the phone up. But see, here's the pressure. You've just compounded it. Now, you out minding your own business, and bumps into him. And before you know it, things are happening, things are going on, things are done, 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 done. Next thing you know, you're waking up. How did I end up back here again? When the Holy Spirit told you 3 months ago, change your number. But that's my number. I shouldn't have to change my number. See, it ain't got nothing to do with what you should have to do. It's got everything to do with what you ask the Holy Spirit to help you with. Change your number. See, he already knew that several months down the line, you're going to get a phone call. You come to church, he sent Quantrell talk to you. Instead of getting an attitude, she all up in my business. Listen, he's trying to save your life. So you're asking the Holy Spirit for help. Grace is trying to give you practical things to do. See, I'm not trying to figure out what to do on my own. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. He will give you what to do practically that you need to do to deal with the pressure while he works in you to strengthen you, to give you the answer that's going to end it. Because you'll come to the place to where the Buster will call. You'll come to a place to where he can show up at your front door in his birthday suit and you open the door and slam it back in his face. You'll come to that place to where even the very thought of the thing would be so revolting to you, your body would go into convulsions. Oh, I can't see how I ever did. Well, you come to the place. You can come to that place. You can come to the place to where you're not a compulsive spender, a compulsive eater anymore. You'll come to the place to where you'll be like, well, please, I'm not wasting my money on that. You'll come to the place. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, not through your own human effort, not from you trying to figure it out in your mind. But if you don't use what we've been going over these last few months, weeks here, you're not going to win. God has given us the tools that we need to win when the pressures of temptation come up on you. But if you don't take them and use them, then they're you on your own. And you will continue to fall every so often underneath the same attack over and over and over and over. Why? Because you would not use the Spirit of God's wisdom to deal with it. And I'm telling you right now, God has given us his mind concerning the temptation, because I did not plan on teaching this way. I wasn't planning on teaching it at all until the Holy Spirit began to say, teach this. And he changed the whole perspective and gave us his idea on how to do it and showed us how Jesus did it. And if that's how Jesus did it and it worked, it'll work for us if we will do what he did. Now, how many of you are ready to be free? You got the answer. Now, if you fall again, it's because you chose to. You decide not to do any of this. This was just good information, you know, a good message for Sunday, so you can have something to do for a couple of hours, and that's all you came to hear, and you went back home. But don't be sad and crying and whining. Well, you don't spend up all your money. You don't got the buster back in your house and you don't know how to get him out again. You don't bought something that the repo man is coming to get because you can't continue to make the payment for it, when God has already told you how to do it. All right? All right. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this lesson. I know it's a great lesson, Lord. I pray that it has truly empowered those who have heard it, and that they will take, that we all would take, that every one of us would take the information that we have heard and use it to win and be victorious over the power of temptation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.